We've got Gene Bolduc in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not a thing?
God, and of course, everybody's upset about everything on social media this week.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Of course, coronavirus is a thing, so we're not, we're beyond that. We're getting into specifics here now. So, I've got two non-things and a thing for you.
Okay, I'm lined up and ready to go.
Number one, not a thing, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it until it's not relevant anymore. Anything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth about anything at all, ever.
I would have to say that's correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Moving on.
Yep. so, the not a thing and a thing go together, and this was my experience yesterday of being on the air and reporting on the news, and there's a lot of stuff happening, so you have to, you know, you have to pick and choose, like, what are you going to focus on, what are you not, what are you going to spend a lot of time on, what are you going to mention in a sentence, what are you going to not mention at all, and all of this Richard Burr news was coming down yesterday.
Fascinating.
So I'm going to say, and following what I did on the air yesterday, following this thought process, not a thing, the speech that he gave to that group of wealthy people back in February, in which he was a little bit less sanguine about coronavirus than he was in public. I'm going to say not a thing to that because maybe a little sketchy, but different people say different things to different groups of people. I'm okay with that.
I guess I agree with you about that. I mean, I listened to what he said, and when I heard what he said, I didn't hear anything in it that was wildly inflammatory, entirely inappropriate.
And it's also not like he was going out
in
public and saying it's a Democrat hoax or anything like that.
No, exactly right. I mean, it was whatever he did say was fact-based.
Right.
It was a good assessment, by the way. He said it's going to be a lot like the 1918 flu. And he wasn't saying to them, so, you know, get to your stockbroker and get out of the market.
Right.
Or get to your stockbroker and buy this or sell that or anything of that nature at all.
And I mean, part of the concern yesterday was like he was saying this to this private group of rich people and he was saying something completely different to the public. And there was a little bit of a difference, but it wasn't like a huge,
it wasn't night and day. Right. I agree with you.
Thing, going to your stockbroker and selling $1.7 million worth of stocks hotels and other things
and
that are going to get hit by this.
And I heard what you said, too, that this was something like, and this is the first time I heard this, was on the way in today, was something like 30 separate transactions.
Apparently,
holy mackerel. Now, Dianne Feinstein and the entirely so rich, what are you doing in the Congress, the Republican woman who's married to the head of the stock exchange.
Yeah, Kelly, whatever her last name is. And there's a fourth one, too.
The richest person in the entire Congress, she is.
Of course.
Right. Well, I don't object to that. It's just
interesting. Well, no, I mean, of course that's
right,
the one who's going to sell a whole bunch of stuff.
No, right. Yeah. But what was interesting to me about those two separate individuals was that they both said the same thing, which is, I had nothing to do with that. My stock portfolio is in a blind trust. Those decisions are made without me.
Which it should be.
And it should be. And if that's the case, I would say, bring on the ethics committee, check it all out, and then leave me alone because that's what's supposed to be.
And that's also the case with Richard Burr. Like, if he's calls and saying, he asked for the ethics.
He asked for the ethics investigation, but I think that his statement was something along the lines of, that all happened, you know, before his timeline seemed a little bit carefully crafted for the situation. So it smells bad, you guys.
Yeah.
It just smells bad.
Very, very bad.
It smells
bad,
extra bad if Tucker Carlson is nipping at your heels to quit your job. So I think it looks pretty bad for them. Do I think it's going to amount to anything for Richard Burr? I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. I mean, he's not Donald Trump. He doesn't get to just misbehave and walk away. But it's also not up to Trump or anything like that. You know, what's going to happen to him. So
those are my two things and one. Those are my two non-things and one thing. What do you have?
Okay, here's, I guess, a thing that is finally a thing is that retailers are finally going back to remembering what they do when they have items on sale. which is to say limit one or limit two.
Mm.
My husband was at Costco this morning getting toilet paper, which is available at Costco. You know, when you get one package at Costco, it's like
you need a month, room to hold it,
a month's supply of toilet paper. And, you know, and it's limit one.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, it's about time. That's, you know, shockingly overdue. And I feel like I was at Walmart earlier this week, and I found that it was spotty. You know, like they had plenty of this and none of that.
Right.
It's obvious, obviously a supply chain issue. But I think that retailers, in the absence of any, you know, single guidance from the federal government about this sort of thing, I'm not sure why they should need it, but okay, that they are finally stepping up to do, they have to be observing that people are buying much, much more than what their individual household needs.
And it's not necessarily, well, I mean, depends on who's buying too. I know I have friends in Michigan who have 12 kids and go through that much toilet paper.
Right.
That's probably not every single person in line at the Costco, but
my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know how they manage it.
I really don't.
They
wouldn't let Rick buy more than one bag of dog food. You know, it's like a 30-pound
bag.
One bag, and he's like, what if I have four dogs? I mean,
see you tomorrow.
Come back tomorrow. And that's what it is.
It's
one per day. They're limiting the number of people who can be in the store at the same time.
Yeah.
And to be fair, it's such an unprecedented situation that everybody's trying to find their way.
And it's not necessarily a supply chain issue. From what I've heard, the supply is coming in the way
it should. It's coming in now,
It's just demand is very suddenly shifted to the point where the supply chain is just taking a little while to catch up.
Well, I think people have to kind of, speaking of shifting, I think that people have to kind of shift their weight and get their balance here a little bit. I think we're going to be in this a month from now, Aaron, in very similar circumstances of restraints on activity and public gatherings and so forth, much as we are now. And if that's and this is Gene's opinion, right? Worth every cent you paid for it.
Hmm.
I think that, you know, when people, I think that little by little, people will get their consumer confidence back about things like that are essentials. And as long as people have basically what they need, the fact that they don't have a better cable package won't, you know, drive them off the edge, I hope.
Any more than usual.
Any more than usual,
like,
right?
I know people who are off the edge on a regular basis about their cable package.
Kind of, maybe that's a bad example. Yeah.
And the other thing that I teased during Kids Q, and I want to mention it now, is social distancing in big cities, right? Because you were talking about this. But you were talking about this
I'm just saying, look, I lived in Boston for a brief time, but I'm from Hartford, Connecticut. And, you know, people are kind of used to getting jostled around in the city.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that in my observation since I moved to the South, whenever I go home, my mother and I, for example, were getting coffee at one point. We were visiting my grandmother in the hospital. We went to get some coffee to kill some time because my grandmother was having a medical test. We're there to waste time.
Yes.
We're there sitting to be comfortable, have coffee, and waste time. The waitress comes, takes our order. She goes away. Maybe 2 minutes goes by. And my mother's like, where's the coffee? What's taking so long? And I'm like, why are you in a hurry?
Yeah.
You're like in a hurry as a reflex.
Because
she should be bringing that coffee now. It's like it's time for my coffee, and what's going on?
I am of the opinion, and I have had this opinion for a while, that New Yorkers, who have the reputation for being super rude, right?
They do.
I am of the opinion that New Yorkers are, in fact, the most polite people in certainly America and very possibly the world, because politeness is all about acknowledging the existence of other people around you and accommodating your behavior to assist them. And when you're in a city like New York, where it's 8 million people all gathered together in one place, you can't stay in one place just kind of gawking at the buildings and taking your time meandering down the street, because there are 8 other people
who need to be in that specific location
that you are. So if you're not moving fast, then you're being rude.
Then you're in the way.
And when when you are in New York City as, you know, a typical friendly Southerner, and you're stopping to have this nice conversation, and then they get rude to you, you're the one who's being rude by obstructing the sidewalk. It's a different rule of etiquette in New York City. So I'm not going to be in New York City anytime in the super near future.
I was going to say, are you just buttering them up because you're going there?
However, it would be fascinating to see, like, now the rules of etiquette have to change for New York.
Right.
Like, now you have to keep your distance.
Right.
How are New Yorkers, who I truly believe, I'm not making a joke about this, I really believe they are the most polite people that you're ever going to meet, but that's because they have their own specific rules of etiquette that they follow. How are they going to shift the rules of etiquette like that overnight?
Okay.
It's really interesting.
I have a great response for this. It's very scientific. First of all, you're exactly right. Secondly,
no, that's it.
I can stop there. Secondly, I think we saw post 9/11 that New Yorkers know darn well how to take good
big
care
time.
Of each other.
Yes.
Very, very much so on a very big scale.
Mm-hmm.
For another situation for which there's no roadmap. New York, I think, was identified by a magazine that did a survey years ago, not that many years ago, best place in the United States to lose your wallet. Somebody will pick it up, find it, find you, and you'll get it back with every penny that was in it.
I do not doubt that at all.
It was like, Business Week or something did Forbes or one of these, they dropped wallets full of cash in every big city in the country. In New York, number one, you're most likely to get your wallet back with the money in it. But here's the other thing. I've always found New Yorkers to be something that a lot of people don't really understand, which is they're very direct. They're blunt and direct. And that includes things like, excuse me, he was in line in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people find that rude and attribute that to rudeness. It isn't rudeness. It's just straightforward directness.
Yeah.
Because when you're packed into a city with that many people, you have to be able to speak up for yourself, but also speak up for that guy who was in line that you're giving a hard time to. Hey, leave him alone. He was there before you were.
Yep.
And that's just accountability.
Who's on the water cooler this week?
Speaking of accountability, Tom Jensen is on the water cooler this weekend. We're going to be rerunning programs for a couple of weeks to minimize the cohabitation here at WCHL.
Right.
So this weekend we're going to be re-airing our wonderful program with Tom Jensen, who's a brilliant genius, as everyone knows, mostly you.
Check out the water cooler on 97.9 The Hill Saturday and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Sundays at 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. weekendwatercooler.com for the full archive. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you. Stay safe.